ABC Radio Australia.
Now this week, coastal communities right across the Pacific have been dealing with a similar experience. From the Federated States of Micronesia to Marshall Islands, Papua New Guinea and Solomon Islands, buildings have been inundated and food crops damaged by high king tides. Here's what it's been like in three different parts of PNG.
My name is Andrew Kalupio, and I come from an island named Wallis. Wallis Island is situated about 45 kilometers northwest of Wewak in the East Pacific province of Papua New Guinea. It is really getting a battering from the king tide. Our island is, I think the highest point is about 40 meters, 50 meters high. The water is coming in from the beach, and also these crab holes in the sand that the water seeps up from. So even if you try to make stone walls in the beach, it'll still come from underneath. We had king tides before, but it has not gone in and done damages like this one has.
My name is David Max, in Manus Island right now. Where I am right now, it's in the CBD of province, Loringau. As I am standing right here, looking out into the sea, you can see wave crashing from distance. And you can see the shoreline where it's heavily affected by the swells. The tides have eroded the beachfront, places where sea don't usually like crashes to the beach, and now seeing the waves crashing to the shorefront. All the atolls surrounding the province are all affected. The sea just swept across the island. Things that are affected are livestock, their food, the gardenings and stuff are affected.
Bougainville is one of the three places in Papua New Guinea which has reported king tides damaging king tides.
This is not the first time we having king tide. King tide has always been happening before. It is more pronounced today because of the effects of climate change.
Those are some people's experiences of the recent king tides in Papua New Guinea. And as you heard there, many people believe these are some of the worst that they've seen, and they are contributing that to climate change. But are those claims right? To find out more, I'm joined now by Hervé Damlamian, who's the Ocean Monitoring and Prediction Team Leader at SPC, the Pacific Community, who is in Fiji right now. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me in your program today.
Lovely to have you on the show this morning. Hervé, first of all, can you describe for me what is a king tide and what does it look like?
With pleasure. Well, it's actually not easy to describe because, king tide is not really a scientific term, and there is no real descriptive definition for a king tide. But I think loosely, we can define a king tide as an unusually high tide, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and what causes specifically the king tides that are happening right now across the Pacific?
So we know tides are controlled by the gravitational pull of the moon and the earth on the ocean. So it's pulling the ocean back and forth. And we have those high tide when the moon and the sun happen to be on the same side of the earth. So both the moon and the sun are together pulling the ocean in the same direction, creating those strong tides. Now, tide is, unfortunately, especially in the Pacific, coastal inundation is usually not triggered by just one phenomena, but it's usually what we call a compound event. So it's tide and other phenomena added to it that triggers the inundation. So while tide plays a significant role in the widespread inundation we've heard about this week, I think one very significant contributing factor is also that we have entered the La Nina phase, which means for Western Pacific Island countries, La Nina means a higher mean sea level than usual. We've seen, for example, because we can monitor those the sea level in those Western Pacific Island countries through our Australian-funded Coast Pack project, where we have tide gauge in each of those countries, monitoring water level. We can see that over the last months or so, we've had very significant higher water level than usual in the Western Pacific due to La Nina, with increased water level up to 30 centimeters higher than usual.
So it's sort of like a triple whammy. You've got the sun, the moon on the same side of the earth, and then we've also in the La Nina weather pattern, which of course means much more rain on this part of the earth, for the Pacific and the where I am in Australia as well, lots more rainfall. All these combination of factors, what does it mean for how long these king tides are going to last?
Yeah, thank you very much, and a very good question. Yeah, sorry. Another factor is a factor also that's triggering the inundation that we've been witnessing is also the storm in the North Pacific that are creating those relatively large waves that are propagating across the region and also contributing to the inundation we're seeing there. So we have the tide, the high tide, the La Nina increasing the water level on the Western Pacific very significantly currently, and the storms that are creating those waves. And unfortunately, and this I think it's something for all coastal communities on the Western Pacific to keep a lookout for, is that the increased water level due to La Nina is very likely to persist or to continue over the coming months. So that means we really need to keep a lookout for any messages from our national Met services, national disaster management offices about any high tide, any high seas that might have, for some coastal community, be of no concern in a normal year. But because we are on a La Nina year, the chance for those events to trigger inundation is much higher. So please keep a lookout.
And with this increased amount of rainfall that's going to be hanging around, and obviously with the king tides bringing in a lot more water that could end up just pooling around in coastal areas, what sort of risk is there then for potential diseases that could spread because of potentially mosquitoes gathering and things like that?
Yeah, thank you very much. So they are obviously some correlation between climate and NCDs, and especially with mosquitoes. Those have been studied a bit. Unfortunately, I don't think I'll be the best expert to talk about the health side of things. But maybe what I'd like to maybe highlight is also how this La Nina event, which is increasing our water level in the sea by 30 centimeters currently, is also maybe giving us a glimpse of what our potential future might look like in a few decades. For example, in 2050, when our sea level rise would be 30 centimeters higher, and those pretty common high tide with a bit of swell might actually trigger widespread coastal inundation, not during a La Nina event, but during a natural, normal event. So that's, I think, of great, great concern for our future and what, sea level rise might bring.
Yeah, definitely. Something of concern indeed, seeing that 30 centimeter rise just with these high king tides, like you say, and what it could mean for the future as well. But Hervé Damlamian, thank you very much for joining me here on Pacific Beat and explaining all of that.
Thank you very much.
Hervé Damlamian, the Ocean Monitoring and Prediction Team Leader at SPC for the Pacific Community.